This is nice. I like September weather like this. Feels like a little bonus, you know? Yeah, very nice. How are you, folks? Welcome to the Tuesday, September 22nd edition. It's my brother's birthday, and I just remembered that right now when I told you the date. And I'd forgotten that today was the 22nd, so I better give him a ring, huh?
Well, yeah, you got some time yet.
Yeah.
You're good.
Weird thing is that I was born on the 22nd, he was born on the 22nd. Kind of a weird thing there. No, not the same month, but, you know, maybe that's no big deal. I don't know. I've always thought it was pretty cool. Helps me remember his birthday. I have to think about my sister's birthday, but my brother's birthday, I just know. Boom, it's right there. I know it. Anyway, today on the program, we're going to talk with Jason Lewis here in just a little bit. Here's a big question. Where is Minnesota at with the whole mail-in ballots and all the... Minnesota's famous for shenanigans. Norm Coleman was... A U.S. Senate seat was stolen from him by Al Franken when they remember this. Oh, he found some ballots in a trunk. Oh, forgot to bring these into the counting. Yeah, they were in somebody's trunk. 400 votes. Can't make it up. So this is how they play. This is, again, something you got to worry about. Also want to know where we're at with the lawsuit against Governor Tim Walz. Because here's the argument by Tim Walz and company. Have you guys heard this? The argument by the Walz administration against the lawsuit from Jason Lewis, it says you can't shut businesses down. That's against the Constitution. You know what the argument is? We weren't going to enforce it anyway. You know, they had fines for like $50,000 for businesses if they didn't comply. But they're saying, well, we weren't actually going to, you know, do that. Oh, interesting how you operate. What else are you saying you're going to do that you really aren't going to do? Jason will have more on that coming up in a little bit. We're going to talk with another one of those census officials. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty of the need to improve the response rate for North Dakota. I'm a believer of the census. As Stephen Moore yesterday told us, the census is sort of the gold standard of data. It's what you rely on economic stats and everything. And they have this law where I forget how long they lock it up and throw away the key for, but it's a long time. You know, it's, and all they're saying is, okay, at this address, this many people live there. They are this race. They are that age. They are this gender, you know, all of that. So, there's that. Kim Koppelman and David Hoge are going to be here. One a state rep, one a state senator, talking about Measure 2. Measure 2 is on the ballot, and I promised this year that I was not going to leave you confused because we get a lot of questions and comments late in the voting when people start voting. Okay, tell me what to do on Measure 2. What should I do on Measure 2? And I never really like telling you what to do. I just say, here's how I'm going to vote, but and here's why. But we'll give you all the info so you can decide how to vote on Measure 2. Before the day is done. Big land auction tomorrow. Kevin Pfeiffer will be here to update us on that from Pfeiffer's. Stay tuned for that as well. So last night at the city council meeting, there was a lot of really smart people that got up. No offense to anybody in an official capacity, but the really smart people were in the audience. And I was amazed at the arguments against a mask update, a mask mandate. Really thoughtful, well done. Now, people like John Strand and Arlette Preston, you know, they can't get enough government. They just are consumed by government. Government has the answer for everything. And so they didn't hear any of the arguments. Okay?
Yep.
Didn't hear any of the arguments. But nonetheless, they were good arguments. They were really good arguments. The only opposition to speak of, I think there were some people there, if I recall, a couple spoke, one or two, against the mandate. But all of the other opposition on this was from Black Lives Matter.
Ah.
Now, okay. I don't know if they're out of issues and done hating cops and, you know, all the horrible things that, you know, the Marxist founders are so proud of in Black Lives Matter or what, but, you know, so literally they're talking about a mask mandate and they're all wearing masks and they're yelling people for not wearing masks and, you know, somebody said somewhere along the line we were racist if we didn't wear a mask. I don't connect those dots because I don't know what it has to do with race, but it was quite interesting. My favorite part of the evening, the first Black Lives Matter speaker was this fellow that has gone back and forth between One Fargo and Black Lives Matter and is constantly kind of agitating. I don't want to give him any more publicity, but I think you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So he stands up to speak, okay? And guess what? All the other Black Lives Matter members stand up.
Hmm.
So, okay. You know, like, I don't know, was there some kind of sermon they were expecting from him, or the gospel, or what, you know, what exactly it was? But I thought, oh, dear leader is speaking, so we all must stand now. It's like, woo!
Yeah.
Anyway, and there were young kids in the group. I ache. And these kids are getting up and saying, my gender is he and they. And, you know, I mean, what is that, by the way? Why do you announce your pronoun before you speak?
I don't remember what I was assigned at birth. I got to go look at the paperwork. But I can tell you the answer later once I check.
Well,
I don't know.
And I don't even want to,
but come on. Look, of this is just, wow.
It is the United States of America, the freest country on the face of the earth. And you decide how you're going to live your life. That's fine. But this idea of announcing a pronoun, I don't know I'm sincerely asking, what is the purpose? Like, is it so the next time I talk to you, I'm supposed to remember that it's he, they?
I got nothing.
Pronoun?
I don't know.
So there was a lot of that in opposition. So let's just play a little bit of this in case you missed it.
I like how Dave laid down the law.
Pepcorn. Commissioner Pepcorn didn't want anything.
No dialogue. And we'll hear your views on that. Quiet. So we'll hear
John, don't engage conversations. They get to talk. Their time is
to
talk.
Let's all continue forward. I look forward to
Commissioner Strand, I do want to just go through the New York ordinance that you're referencing and want to make sure that you understand they have penalties. And in that, it says the violation of any provision of this subpart is subject to all civil and criminal penalties as provided by law. Individuals who violate this subpart are subject to a maximum fine of $1,000 for each violation.
Okay, let me explain this, if I could. This is Mayor Mahoney, who is telling John Strand, who just got done arguing, I want a mask mandate, I want no penalties for it. Which then you scratch your head and say, well, what's the purpose of it? What difference is that going to make, right? But I want a mask mandate and no penalties for it. And I'm going to use the New York model, and he read the New York model. Mayor Mahoney says, wait a minute, the New York model's got penalties. Crying out loud. So that was a little bit of what was going on. Now you have Dave Pepcorn, you said, city commissioner, who, once you heard that unruliness, and John Strand clearly had the fan club there. That was why Black Lives Matter was there. That's the John Strand fan club. And they were saying, we're with you, you know, that kind of thing. So Dave Pepcorn, I think, just wanted to lay down the law a little bit about how this works and what the rules are. So here's that.
From folks. Mr. Chair, can I just say something real quick? So here's the rules. This is a city commission meeting. If you behave yourselves, then you can stay. If you don't behave yourselves, you're going to be asked to leave. If you don't leave, the police in the back of the room are going to remove you. Is that clear? All right. Thank you.
We'll start with open discussion. I remind you, you have a 2-minute, 30-second time limit on that, and some of you have already sent emails to us, so I'd ask you just keep your remarks brief, because I have quite a few people who want to speak, and we're going to do this for 30 minutes. If we don't get through all the people, that's when it stops. So 35, Glenn Knutson is first, Loretta Smith is second, if you just start to get close to the bike so we can get going.
Mr.
on
Chairman,
this.
Mr. Chairman, if we could get the motion read so they know what we're considering tonight.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Motion,
I mean,
will be
they had more fits and starts. That was Arlette Preston. You know, we want to talk about this precious, precious ordinance. By the way, in the end, what they did, it was obvious they didn't have the votes. So then they said they're going to write two ordinances, one with a penalty, one without, and then they're going to consider that at the next city commission meeting, because Arlette Preston and John Strand both started having a hissy fit that, you know, this is going to get dragged out and we're already going to be to October 6th. And, you know, so anyway, if you were there last night, I'd love to hear from you. If you were there last night, I'd love to hear from you, because I thought it was an interesting conversation and I was really, really impressed. Glenn Knutson starts and he's got some great facts. So we'll start with him coming up here in a little bit. We don't have any more time in this segment, but we will have more coming up. Okay. Jason Lewis is going to join us in just a moment. Open phone time at the beginning of next hour. Big news on the Supreme Court pick. We're going to get you that update and much more coming up on What's on Your Mind, brought to you today by Chose Investments. KJOSinvestments.com. If you've heard me say why we think so much of Chose Investments and haven't been able to find that website, KJOSinvestments.com. There is a difference between knowing how to do something and knowing how to really get it done. So if you're looking at commercial real estate, office space, land development. One name to know in the metro, that's Chose Investment. Homegrown company, decades of experience. They just know. Even if you're not ready to go there yet, talk to them. Get started. Find out more at ChoseInvestments.com.
AM 1100 The Flag is your home for 50 days of freedom, leading up to Election Day on November 3rd. And we've got a special prize that you could win. A limited edition Carhartt stocking cap with a salute to President Trump's campaign for re-election. And there are only 50 being made. Your chance to win comes weekday mornings on the Need to Know Morning Show. And What's on Your Mind Early Edition. Plus, look for chances to win them on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages. No other radio station celebrates the conservative values that made our country great, like AM 1100, The Flag.
Back on What's on Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. Thank you for that. Reminder brought to you by Comforting Angels Home Care, making it possible for aging adults to continue to live at home safely, independently. Providing personalized care specific to every client, Comforting Angels provides flexible hourly care, ranging from simple errands and housekeeping to 24-hour live-in care. Living at home is possible with help from Comforting Angels Home Care, helping hands with caring hearts, serving loved ones across the region, offices in Hawley, West Fargo, online at dngangels.com. Just got a press release from Governor Tim Walz's office announcing a statewide safe learning tour.
What?
In Moorhead and St. Cloud.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Your governor's the only one that knows about safe learning. He's got to be there to bless it.
Yay.
We got a large, long notice for this, a couple hours. 11:15, he'll be at the Reinertsen Elementary in Moorhead, as a matter of fact, today. So, and with the superintendent and the principal there, and I see they'll have a brief media availability to follow. That'll mean, Scott's here, Kevin's here. We're out of here.
Yeah.
Let me find some Twin Cities NPR lackey to ask a question, and yeah, I don't even know if I'll bother.
Nope.
I wish Jason Lewis could be there. The next U.S. Senator from the great state of Minnesota, Jason Lewis, on our Newsmaker line. Hello, sir. How are you?
Scott, how are you, my friend? You are my comforting angel in the Northern Plains, in the Red River Valley, all across Northwest Minnesota.
Well, I appreciate that. It was good to see you in Bemidji, and that was, what'd you make of that? What was the overall takeaway?
It was remarkable. I mean, you've got literally thousands of people coming to a relatively small town in northern Minnesota on a cool fall night. And not only do you have thousands in the hangar, but thousands outside watching on the Jumbotron. I just think it's once again the latest piece of evidence on the enthusiasm gap. I mean, not to give Joe Biden his due or anything. I mean, he had a solid 6 or 7 people in Duluth that day.
Yeah.
But you travel greater Minnesota and all you see are Trump, Pence, Lewis signs. You're not seeing any Biden, Harris, Smith signs. I think that basically the president has locked down greater Minnesota with these trips, and he'll be back. I can guarantee it. The vice president will be back. Minnesota's in play as well as it should be and absolutely needs to be, Scott. Look at what we're faced against right now. The Democrats are simply saying, here's the message from the Democrats. It's our way or else. You will do it or we'll sick the Democrat militia on you. If we don't win an election, we'll spy on our opponents and then impeach them. Oh, and by the way, if we don't win the election in the Electoral College, we'll abolish the Electoral College. And if the Supreme Court doesn't pass or doesn't judge appropriately, we'll pack the Supreme Court. I have never seen such a blatant political temper tantrum combined with dangerous power in my life. We are literally at the precipice of losing the republic if the Senate does not stay in our hands. Oh, and one other thing. If they can't get their way because the minority has their right to filibuster, we'll undo the filibuster.
Yeah, and we'll give Puerto Rico statehood, D.C. statehood, right?
Puerto Rico, we're going to pack the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
They're going to pack the Electoral College, pack the House and the Senate, pack the Supreme Court, pack the Electoral College so it's nothingness. It's just absolutely bizarre.
And the way they're talking, AOC and Chuck Schumer this weekend and others as well, Joe Biden, I mean, it is, they say it out loud. We've always known this was a threat. We've always known this was a radical bunch, but they're saying it out loud now. Is it to motivate their base or what is it? Why are they being so?
Yeah, that is right. For years and years, each party has cast aspersions on the other party's secret plans. Nothing's secret anymore. But look, once you essentially say if the mob wants the third precinct, you can have it and we won't prosecute you. What else can you do that's more obvious, right? This, I don't know how to describe it other than we have a decision in America and in Minnesota this year on whether we are going to keep our constitutional republic or whether we're going to adopt mob rule. Really, that's everything we just described is mob rule. You will conform to the mob or else. And I hate to be so hyperbolic about it, but it's not being, I'm not engaging in hyperbole because, as you say, they've said it.
What is your take on the chances that the Supreme Court will be filled with a replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg before the election? The president today announcing that his pick will be announced Saturday at the White House. That's new. He'd said Friday or Saturday. Now it's Saturday. We also heard Cory Gardner, which is a gutsy move because he's in a tight race in Colorado, is saying he's for a vote before the election, which means they now have the numbers to actually proceed with all this. You think they're going to get it done?
Well, I mean, history suggests they can. If you look at Sandra Day O'Connor, you look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself, I think it was 42 or 44 days. This, once again, is the great media lie, the gaslighting by the mainstream press, and that is this. Throughout the 20th century, the precedent was clear. There was never a president or a Senate who failed to confirm a nominee, appoint or confirm a nominee due to an impending election in an election year. It just didn't happen. So the precedent is clear. You move forward, do your constitutional duty. It was Ruth Bader Ginsburg who said, look, presidents are elected for 4 years, not three. Move. Ginsburg also, by the way, talked about the errors of packing the court, and she called Roe v. Wade heavy-handed judicial activism. So the folks relying on...
Well, none of that matters now. None of it matters because she's dead, and they don't care anymore about what she said, other than when she says her dying wish was to, you know, have the next president, which is, I don't know about you, but...
If she said it.
It gives me the heebie-jeebies. Yeah, evidently the granddaughter was there, and if she actually said it, it's just like, really? Please, hit me over the head if I say something like that on my deathbed, like I'm worried about, hey, who's going to do the show? Who's going to do the show? Yeah, I want somebody out, you know, oh my gosh.
What's the old adage on your deathbed? Nobody laments the fact they didn't spend enough time at the office.
Yeah, no kidding. That's about it.
That's right.
So
that's
here's
right.
A couple
of bigger things to worry about.
Couple of things I want to ask you about. One is your lawsuit, which was so refreshing to see somebody stand up to you know what was being done to businesses, stand up what was being done to the Constitution. Where's it at? What's the latest with the lawsuit against the state of Minnesota?
By the way, I'm glad you brought that up because this is a federal lawsuit. The federal bench will adjudicate whether a government can lock you down in perpetuity. So again, Supreme Court matter a bit, folks. If you go the wrong way here, you look forward to more lockdowns. We thought we got a very fair hearing from the judge, not to say that he will rule in our way, but he was certainly open to it and referenced the Pennsylvania case several times. As you know, a judge in Pennsylvania basically undid those lockdowns, ruled they were unconstitutional. The government, there is no pandemic exception to the Bill of Rights. You can't say you have the right to go to church, the right to free exercise, the right to the Second Amendment, the right to gather. Oh, unless there's a public health crisis, then you don't. That's nowhere in the Constitution. And that was the basis of our lawsuit. And we should have a ruling here in the next 5 or 6 days. And look, if it doesn't go our way, I think we'll continue the fight. There's always an appeal process to the Eighth Circuit, but we're hopeful.
I think Chris
Berg. To your point, somebody's got to fight.
Somebody's got to fight this stuff, take it on. Chris Berg, who you were on with last night on Point of View, did I hear you say that one of their arguments is, well, we weren't going to enforce it anyway, so the penalty really wouldn't have been there anyway. So, you know, I mean, is that actually one of their arguments?
It was serial mootness, I believe they called it. The notion that, well, A, the we weren't enforcing the emergency order at the time Lewis filed, and B, it's probably not going to happen again, so the whole thing is moot. Really? Well, Joe Biden's already proposing, what, a federal mask mandate? How's he going to enforce that? With an emergency order. It'll happen over and over again.
Only have a minute left, but tell me if you trust the vote in Minnesota, the mail-in ballots, what's going to happen after Election Day. What's your thought there?
Well, it's very scary right now, Scott, because the post office even said they can't do it in under 14, 20 days. But Minnesota gave the post office a week to get the ballots, process them, get them to the Secretary of State. The last ballot can be postmarked on Election Day, November 3rd, but can be counted on November 10th. So you've got a week to process these ballots. That's a real problem. A, you don't count votes after the election, and B, they're going to say, oh, November 10th isn't long enough. We need November 17th. So everybody needs to be on their toes, and everybody needs to be vigilant and really get ready. I mean, get ready to fight.
Jason Lewis headed to the Senate. Bye-bye, Tina Smith. In the rearview mirror, folks, that's just fine. Keep fighting, fella, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Scott. Good to talk.
Bye-bye. We've adopted this race. It's our race. We're gonna follow this one very closely, folks. More coming up. And I promise you.